there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. The good news of the Lord. We're going to talk a little bit, maybe more than a little bit, about Alice Argon. And I realize that there are people in this room who never had the privilege of knowing her. We're going to dedicate some amazing works of art in her memory. And for those participating, little cue for later, when we start singing, Now We Sing in Celebration, if you had a hand in cutting a square for a quilt, or a hand in making a garden out of metal and fire, that hymn is your cue to come and stand around the table. But back to this text, this is the sort of text, gospel, that would have really warmed Alice's heart. Fear and foreboding, bring it on. Even better, bring on Jesus. Alice, among many other things, was an astrophysicist. So signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars were objects for exploration, not fear. And about that distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and waves, I can hear Alice saying, typical. When have nations not been easily confused? To be human is to be easily confused. And I always had the impression, after we had had one of our many conversations in my office, Alice left confirmed in the belief that pastors are easily confused. People, pay attention. Pay attention to Jesus. Into the chaos of this world with razor-sharp attentiveness, Alice would look unblinking, expecting to see Jesus. And not the baby Jesus of Christmas creches. No, Jesus, like here in the 21st chapter of Luke, and not because Jesus promises to come with cloud power brighter than a billion suns and louder than the collision of binary black holes. No. Jesus, here in the 21st chapter, is making his last public address on his way to the cross. The cross. Now, quick sidebar. Remember again that this is the first Sunday in Advent. We start a new church year, and with the beginning of a church year comes a new gospel writer who will act as our narrator and guide. And this year's narrator and guide is going to be Luke. Goodbye, Mark. Nice to know you. Hello, Luke. Luke and your orderly accounts of these things. And gospel trekkers with some experience with Luke as guide will, by the 21st chapter, have noticed that whenever Luke invokes a time-honored power label, even when that power label is applied to Jesus, instead of looking where that spotlight seems to shine, it's time to pay attention to what's happening off in the shadows, on the margins. So here, power label applied to Jesus, Son of Man coming on a cloud. Hashtag Messiah. Yet, look to the shadows, because it's through those people in the shadows that Jesus is looking. Pay attention. Take our cues, as Alice would, to pay attention to Jesus. Now, Luke's account of the beginning of the end includes all the classic characteristics of the apocalypse, biblically speaking. There are signs in the heavens and nations in uproar. And if you look at the other two cousins of Mark, gospel speak, synoptic gospels, you'll find that Matthew and Mark are, with Luke, are all giving heaping helpings of that sort of thing, heaping helpings of apocalypse. But uniquely, in Luke's orderly accounts, Jesus puts special focus on people fainting from fear and foreboding. Literally, behind that language are people breathing their last breath, not getting enough oxygen, short of breath, short of life expectancy, and more than likely, people for whom fear is not new, living on the margins, daily flattened by fear, layered upon fear, not new. And to these people, Jesus says, when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is good news. This is the best news. Jesus comes with freedom from fear, the kind of freedom that restores breath in the body and hope in the spirit. Freedom is what redemption is about. Freedom to stand, to welcome Jesus, knowing you are already welcomed by Jesus. I'm going to skip over the parable of the fig tree. It's common to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and gets inserted in this as a kind of biblical New Testament quick sidebar. What I want most to point out this morning is something that we don't find in Luke compared to the others. What we don't find in Luke is a picture of a great end time reunion. In this version, there are no angels. We find those in Matthew and Mark. Angels dispatched in Mark and in Matthew with trumpets, dispatched to gather in all the end time winners, the chosen, the elect. But here in Luke, instead of victory pie in the sky, in the heavenly penthouse suite by and by, here in Luke, Jesus says, be alert at all times, praying. Praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things and to stand before the coming of the Son of Man. Pay attention. Pray. In Luke, this is what Jesus always does when Jesus is finding himself a little short of breath. He goes off and he prays. He prays to connect with his source, to connect with God. Pray, says Jesus here in the 21st chapter, because in prayer, that connection happens. It is the great ingathering of souls, and it is not off in some far distant future. Pray, because connecting with Jesus also means connecting with a reunion bigger than you could ever imagine, because you're connecting with everyone who is beloved by God, and there are no exceptions. Your redemption is drawing near. That's the promise. And praying is praying in that promise and finding the courage to stand. And this morning we have this gift of actually getting to see rather vividly how this works. 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago? 3 years ago. A woman named Alice died of cancer. She died too young. She died too fast. And a family was flattened by grief. A family that turns out to be bigger than any of the individual members had imagined. Here inside these walls at UniLu, in our grief, remembering Alice and remembering that Jesus was the focus of her life, we prayed the promise of love stronger than death. We prayed with words and hymns. We prayed and prayed, and over the course of the last 3 years, we prayed with scraps of fabric, one of Alice's many legacies. She sewed her own clothes. Praying the promise, paying attention, focused on Jesus, focused on the life of Jesus, on the birth, on the healing words of Jesus, words like those spoken to the woman who was bent over for 18 years, words like, "Woman, you are now set free." Focus on words that Jesus promises will never pass away, words like these, words like we just heard Jesus saying. When you see these things, stand up. Raise your head, because your redemption is drawing near. That promise. Praying that promise, not a pleading prayer, a prayer of strong connection and relationship. Pray that promise and remember that you were made and called to stand. Pay attention, pray the promise that fear will not have the last word. And so, with fabric and scissors, we prayed the promise of dying and rising. With needle and thread, prayers came together. Prayers came together and became a quilt for a table, a quilt for a communion table, a table designed for gathering in, for forgiveness, for refreshment, for restoration, and for remembering the promise that Jesus is as near as the bread in your hand and the wine poured for your drinking. 3 years, and at the same time, all the way across Harvard Square in that far distant land of Brattle Street. There in the Cambridge Center for Adult Education, another branch of Alice's family grieved. This was the metalworking and jewelry making workshop group in that center, grieving because for 15 years, Alice spent hours with her community there in that workshop without fail until one day she didn't come. And the next class she didn't come. And there was confusion and there was distress And there was the news that Alice had died. And maybe the class did not consider this praying a promise. But what happened was surely grounded in the conviction that death does not get the last word. Not when seeds of creativity can yield stems and leaves and petals that rise up as flowers. Very unconventional flowers. Alice was nothing if not unconventional. Flowers grew, not confined by fear. Free, as Alice knew she was, as we now know she is, free. So for 3 years, one family in one place here under this roof prayed the promise, while we had no idea that there was another part of our family, another branch of the family, steeped in that same promise. And we didn't come to know each other until we had a minor communion crisis. The metal chalice that's used for pouring wine into the small glasses sprang a leak. Or, more precisely, the piece across the spout just one day went sproing and came apart. And so John Gregg went from one place to another, month after month, looking for a metal worker who would take that cup in hand and repair it. And again and again, he got rebuffed until we found Lori Savage, who, by the way, told us why it had been so hard and why people looked and went, no, thank you. It turns out that this chalice that was so very shiny was made of fairly inferior metal. And to touch that with a torch was dicey at best. However, when John found Lori Savage at the Cambridge Center for Adult Education, she was game. She took it in hand. And somewhere along the course of the conversation, Lori thought to ask about the church with the communion cup and Unilu and had Alice Argon been a member of this church? To which John said, of course, since her childhood, a very central member of our community, and she died. And Lori said, yes, I know. Because for 3 years, the workshop, the community that was there for Alice to make unconventional things of beauty arise out of metal, that community had been making flowers, thinking of Alice, finding hope and comfort in the making and the creating. Without any clear idea of where these flowers would someday land. That's faithfulness. To do the thing without being consumed by the destination. And so it has come to pass that these flowers have been raised up. And they will be planted here on this table beneath a quilt that came together while we were praying the promise. two branches of the same family, discovering connection through a loving spirit that cancer could not kill. All along, we were in communion. We didn't know it. God knew it. Alice knew it. This is the invitation of today and for the entire season. Pay attention. Focus on Jesus. And then pray the promise. And you will have strength and courage to stand. Amen.